EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is
dispatch.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. I hope you're all doing good. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. A shout out to Oscar in New York. He's 13 years old, a huge fan of the show and is incredibly interested in UFOs. Podcast bumper sticker on its way, Oscar. Keep watching the skies, buddy. This episode we are in North Yorkshire in the United Kingdom to speak with Frank about an encounter he and his friend had along a country road in the early hours of the morning, back in the mid-1980s. Frank is up next. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Hello, Frank. Welcome to the podcast.
Yes, hello.
It is great to have you with us today, and you're calling from North Yorkshire in the UK.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, Frank, your experiences occurred in the 1980s. Would you like to start at the beginnings, please, sir?
Yeah, this is an incident that a friend and I experienced around about 1985. It was about 2 a.m. in the morning, and I was the front seat passenger of a vehicle driven by my friend. Approximately aged 19, 20 years of age, had little money at that time. So we had a lot of time on our hands. So basically, we used to go out for drives. So it was fairly normal for us to go to drive to places that we hadn't been before. We were traveling along a country lane somewhere in North Yorkshire, UK. The lanes were quite narrow, twisted. There was also hedges that were running parallel to the road. Due to the time of the morning, which was round about 2 a.m., there was very little traffic on the roads, and we had not seen another vehicle pass us for around 30 minutes. The vehicle headlights were on high beam nearly all of the time because no street lighting, no moon in the sky, so it was pitch blackness outside. The speed we were travelling was approximately 30 to 40 miles an hour. We were both chatting, sharing jokes, basically having an enjoyable, relaxed time. It was then that a light so bright that it lit up the whole of the interior of the car, filling it with an intense bright light. It appeared as if the car windows had been painted white. This totally blocked any vision to the outside of the car. I remember turning my head to look at my friend who was driving, and I managed to do so, but it was as if my head was moving in slow motion. the approximate time from turning my head from straight ahead to look at my friend, I would say, was approximately 3 to 4 seconds. After looking at my friend, I then turned my head forward again, as if in slow motion. Then as suddenly as the light appeared, it was gone, and we were back on the country lane. My friend pulled the car over in a lay-by, and we both got out the car and said nothing to each other for around 5 minutes. This was probably due to us both being in a state of shock. I eventually said to him, "Did that really happen?" To which he replied, "Yes." So this incident has remained in my thoughts for many years, and the unanswered question regarding what had happened. The whole circumstances were strange. A light so bright that the windows of the vehicle appeared to be painted white. No apparent sound. The slow motion of my head. Some of the questions to what happened to me and my friend, I think, were finally answered on the 17th of March 2011. I had done some research into regression therapy and consulted with a reputable practitioner that is local to me. She explained the process and the ability to access the subconscious mind so as to discover potentially what took place 25 years ago. The following is what was retrieved. My friend and I driving down the country lane, telling each other a few jokes. Then suddenly the light appeared. I found myself being lifted out of the car and upwards through the black night sky, passing stars. Then I find that I'm in a room of whiteness, so white you cannot distinguish where the floor meets the walls. A deathly silence, so much so that you could hear a pin drop. Although I could not see anything in the room, I did have a feeling that something was there. A sensation that I'm being watched and studied. I seemed to be sat down, although I could not see if it was a chair. The palm of my hands placed on my knees. Then approximately a foot in distance away from me, I could see a circle appear on the floor. From the circle, a black figure rose out of the floor. Possibly due to me being seated, the figure looked very tall. I'm unable to make out any facial features. It was very similar to the character in the Star Wars movies, Darth Vader. I had an unknown feeling that the form was male rather than female. The figure lifted its arms and reached out and placed its fingertips a couple of inches from mine. Although I was in a state of shock, I was unable to move any part of my body as if I was paralyzed. I then felt the sensation of an electric current coming from this creature's fingertips and entering mine. It then traveled through my body. A very strange feeling I would describe as when someone walks over your grave and you get a shiver-like reaction. But this was through all my body. I started to panic, and not by voice, but some kind of mind communication. I heard the words, "Stop resisting." The power that was coming back through my body now seemed to be getting drained from me and back into the figure in front of me. I was starting to feel weak and worried that whatever was being taken from me may result in me dying. When all this power had been taken, the figure sunk back into the floor and disappeared. I then felt myself falling unexpectedly, just as if a trapdoor had been opened beneath me. I was falling like a stone through the starry black sky, then suddenly back in the car. With regards to my friend, I'd just like to read out his experience regards to what happened. We were traveling at about 40 miles an hour, and there was no traffic around, nor was there any street lighting. It was fairly dark, and as one would expect, nothing unusual. We had went out for a drive. As we made our way home, suddenly all the car windows went white. Not your usual white. This was an intense type of white. The inside of the car radiated this particular whiteness. It was all around us. I could barely make out Frank. He seemed to blend in with the whiteness. This light was everywhere, inside and out of the vehicle. There was no noise. Everything was quiet. I couldn't hear the engine noise, nor feel the tyres moving along the road. It was silent. I remember turning to Frank, but could barely see him. The car must have been moving. I certainly don't remember either slowing down or stopping, despite what was happening. Within a short space of time, possibly 5 to 10 seconds, maybe slightly more, everything returned to normal. Suddenly, the darkness of the night appeared again. The whiteness had disappeared. We were back to normal, and I was still driving at the same speed. It was as though I'd been driving all the time. We then pulled over and stopped the car. We were both a little shaken, possibly shocked. Nothing like this has ever happened to me or us before. We couldn't explain what had just happened.
That is interesting, Frank. Was it only yourself that had the regression, or did you both?
What basically happened was I went through the regression. Maybe I should have mentioned this, actually. I went through the regression, and at first I was quite shocked because, and I said to the practitioner, has that really happened? And she said, well, as far as I'm concerned, yes, it has happened. But potentially your friend may have experienced more than he's actually said. So she said, I'd like to go and see him. Tell him that you found something out, but don't give him any details. Ask him if he's willing to get regressed. She said, if he is willing to get regressed, and basically his experience is the same, although his perceptions might be slightly different, she said, it has got to have happened. So I went to see him and I explained, look, I have found out something, a bit more what happened that night through regression. Would you be willing to be regressed? And he basically said to me, look, whatever happened on that night was quite shocking. I don't want to go through regression. I said, are you 100% certain? Because I don't want to tell you and influence you in any way if you are wanting to get regressed. He said, 100%. I don't want to get regressed. So then I basically told him my experience. Which was, I would have loved him to get regressed and to come back with a similar experience to what I what happened to me, because I appreciate a lot of times these incidents, it's the individual, and you've got the individual story. But if you had two people with the same story, that would have been, wow. I was going to say out of this world, but maybe that's probably not necessarily the, or is it an appropriate term? Probably is an appropriate term to use.
It certainly would be interesting if he had this regression, but also on the other side, you can understand maybe why he didn't, because he's aware of something which strange and peculiar happened. But sometimes we don't want to know. We're just kind of happy what we do remember, and that's it.
I mean, I do think to myself, you know, that I wouldn't necessarily say before this experience I was an avid science fiction or watching documentaries about being abducted. But I do think to myself that experience, I do feel privileged to have had that experience. And I just wish that he would have gone through with it. But I can certainly understand, you know, and I still see him on once a month. And I mean, we've been friends for probably 46 years. And, you know, probably maybe about once a year, one of us might mention, you know, that experience, the light. So, yeah, like I said, I do look at it not in a negative way, but in a positive way, that to have that experience.
And there's always a chance he might listen to you on here and he might change his mind.
I just think that, because now I've told him my story, I've corrupted potentially his experience, so much so that if he was regressed and he does come up with a similar story, because I've already told him now, the validity maybe of that experience is in question.
Of course, that is certainly a possibility. And the thing with regression, you know, people are very two minds about it.
False memories and...
Exactly, yeah. And all that. I do believe as its uses. But yeah, but what, from the point when you're in the car, you've seen this intense bright light. Now, obviously, the thought went through your head that this isn't like a truck headlights or anything like that. At which point did you think something strange has happened?
I think it was the fact that we've all been driving, you know, on a motorway, and on the opposite carriageway coming towards you, somebody's been on full beam and it dazzled you. But that dazzlement is normally straight ahead. The fact that 180, when a 180 view of the inside of the car was certainly that the light was so bright, not being able to see out of the windows, the car was lit up inside, so much so that, and I didn't mention this actually, but when I looked at Aaron, the left-hand side of his face was lit up as well. And Aaron is dark-skinned, he's of Asian descent, and I've never experienced a light so intense as that. And I've been driving for, you know, 30-plus years, easy, probably 35 years. And yes, I've experienced being dazzled before many times, but never to such an extent. And the other thing what puzzles me is if you're driving 30 to 40 miles an hour on a twisty country road and you get somebody, you know, head-on blinding you, it's difficult. It'd be difficult. I would have to brake because I'd be worried about coming off the road. But imagine if you can't see out of the vehicle, full stop. How did he manage to keep that vehicle on the road? I don't know. And that just makes me think as well, you know, 30 to 40 miles an hour, we would have come off the road. I'm fairly certain of that. Another friend of mine who I see on a regular basis, who was very much into science fiction, he said, did you check your watch? Because he said your experience you might have felt it was 10 seconds, but it could have been 20 minutes. And I said, look, I said, no. I said, that was far from my thoughts, necessarily looking at my watch to see if, you know, I'd lost time or gained time in any way. But yeah, I do think to myself, we were very lucky, or were we lucky? I don't know, that the car didn't leave the road. Very strange.
From the time you had this experience to the time you had regression, that was obviously playing over in your mind for all those years, not really knowing what had happened.
Yeah, I mean, not to the extent, you know, where I'd lose sleep or anything, but it would puzzle me what happened on that night. And, you know, late 50s, I've experienced a lot of things in my life, but something like that, such a big puzzle, what has happened. And I had done some like research with regards to regression and thought to myself, well, I've got nothing to lose by going through this process and potentially plenty to gain. And I don't know if I mentioned to you, but I worked for Cleveland Police for 21 years, and I've never necessarily shouted from the rooftops that I've been abducted by aliens. But I don't know if I mentioned last time, there was a training seminar at police headquarters, and there was about 300 to 400 staff there, and some, you know, senior officers. And there was probably about 10 people to a table. And, you know, initially when you're trying to, you know, get to know people, and basically you turn to the person on your right, and, you know, the trainer said, can you find out two things about the person sat next to you? And the winning table gets a box of chocolates. And so there was probably about 25 tables. And so that went round people. And the guy who I'd said, well, this has happened to me. This was after the regression. And he said, do you want me to read this out? I said, yeah. So anyway, he stood up and said, oh, this is Frank. And he's had an experience. And he believes that he was abducted by aliens. As you can expect, you know, the people start to laugh. And I knew that potentially I was leaving myself open to be ridiculed. And the trainer said, oh, Frank, would you mind telling us what happened? So I basically gave this my story. So cutting a long story short, out of 25 tables, you can guess which table won the chocolates for the best story. So, and I do believe, I think it's very ignorant for people to think, you know, are the billions of planets out there that we are the only intelligent life form? I think it's, you know, I mean, come on, there could be somebody looking at us now and we are the equivalent to how we look at ants. So, you know, I just, it's down to individuals, isn't it? I'm not saying to people, please believe me, please believe me. It's up to them if they want to believe me. I give my story and it's down to them. It's quite easy to dismiss things.
It's very easy. I mean, talking about Yorkshire, you know, you had during the 80s, you had Alan Godfrey, who was the police constable.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I had him on as a guest back in 2019, I think it was. And he had this experience. He had seen the bright light moving along a road, not very fast. I think he was looking for cows. It was some missing cows. And he saw this bright light, but that was it. He couldn't remember. And of course, he had the regression and these memories. Then what happened all came flooding back. And by him coming out, it cost his job because he was so outspoken. He was just basically saying, this is what happened, and obviously affected his career. So you can understand why people who have had these experiences don't speak about it because of co-workers and chance that it can certainly affect their careers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was approached by somebody who was compiling a book with regards to strange experiences. And this was about 15 years ago. I mean, the book didn't happen. But he said, I would like to include your story in the book. And I said, well, would it add validity to my character? Because obviously I appreciate people who are listening or reading about my story don't necessarily know anything about me as such. I said, would it be worthwhile, you know, including that I'm a police employee? And he said, oh, yes, that would. I said, right. I said, well, I'd have to get permission. So I emailed the chief officer's PA. And anyway, a couple of weeks later, she got back to me and she said, yes, that's fine. She said, we don't mind, you've been included in the book and mentioning that you're a police employee, but please don't mention that you work for Cleveland Police.
Just covering their backs, aren't they?
Well, yeah. And I suppose I can understand to a certain extent, because people might think, oh, this guy's working for the police and he thinks he's been abducted by aliens. I mean, is he a very rational thinker and blah, blah, blah? Is he unhinged? But I do think to myself that the more people who come forward, and I do think that, as you mentioned, there is a lot more people out there who've had experiences, but they feel that, you know, if I come forward, you know, I'm going to get ridiculed and, you know, I might lose friends or blah, blah, blah. And I just hope that by myself and other people coming forward, it just encourages and motivates people. Well, yes, I am going to share my story.
There is an awful lot. And I've had guests on here which are in professional jobs and they would say, you know, keep my name out of it. I'll share my account, but please don't use my name and don't say what my profession is. And the guests I have on here come from all walks of life, all backgrounds, all kinds of jobs. And 100%, there are a lot more police officers, current and retired, that have had these experiences and won't go public because of this. So, but there's an awful lot out there. And it's important that people do come forward, because the more people there are, the more it's then going to be accepted. You know, it's getting better, but even now there is still that stigma attached.
Oh, exactly. And I do get a little bit frustrated to a certain extent. I do feel now that because I'm not employed as such, especially in the policing anymore, that even more encouraged to say, well, look, this has happened to me. And if to add validity to my character, my name, that I used to work in a policing environment, and people hopefully will think, you know, oh, well, this does seem quite, how can I put this, normal.
As normal as you can be in this crazy world.
Exactly. Yeah. What is normal?
What is normal, indeed. But, you know, like I say, these experiences happen to people all over the world. During your hypnotic session, you saw a figure that comes out of a circle in the floor.
Yes.
Do you recall any details about him?
There was absolutely no facial features, what I could remember. It was as if it was a blank face, similar sort of shape to sort of like the Darth Vader in Star Wars, in the sense of, as if, imagine, you know, like the sort of the silhouette of the Virgin Mary, you know, where she's wearing, you know, a headscarf and that shape, like a flowing sort of dress type of cloak, that sort of silhouette. I can't remember any facial features at all.
And the room you're in, can you recall anything that you felt during the session? How you felt, how your body felt? How did the room feel?
The room felt very clinical. The whiteness, I couldn't distinguish where the floor and the wall finished and met. So I couldn't even gauge the size of this room. Although initially I couldn't see anything, I just had that sensation that there was something else in the room. And once this circle appeared in front of me, this figure rose out of the circle. Certainly, I was frightened. I can remember as if I sat in something. I'm saying it's a chair, but certainly sat down, my hands on my knees, just feeling quite tense. I remember my muscles were quite taut. And then, of course, this energy, which came from this creature's fingertips, which were probably about maybe a couple of inches away from my fingertips. And just that feeling of this energy going through my body. It was a very example I gave where in the UK, that term, somebody's walked over my grave and you get that shivering sensation, mainly over your back and the top of your arms. But this was the whole of my body. That sensation was the whole of my body. Then when it's after about, I'd say probably about 5 to 10 seconds, it starts to take this energy out of me and I'm starting to feel weak, so much so that I can feel myself starting to sink into this chair or whatever I'm sat on, thinking that this creature has taken the life energy out of me and that basically I'm going to die. The telepathic type of message it sent to me, a very frightening experience at the time. Then after this energy had been released, just imagine being sat on a chair and a trapdoor being open underneath you without expecting it. That sort of force of falling through the sky.
Then it just links up to when you're then in the car again.
Yes, I remember falling through the sky, the darkness, stars, back in the car. The light was still in the car when I arrived back in the vehicle. Then probably a second after, light was gone. My friend pulled the vehicle over. We got out and, like I said, it was probably maybe 4 or 5 minutes. We didn't say anything to each other because we were both in such a state of shock.
I know it was a while ago now, but in the days that followed this experience, how did you feel? Did you feel any different?
I felt different in the sense of that my sleep pattern probably for the next couple of weeks was interrupted because it was such a shocking experience. And also, I think because I didn't feel strong enough to be able to divulge to other people what had happened, so I kept things to myself. I just think the experience itself, certainly with regards to my sleep pattern, had a negative effect.
Location where this happened, have you ever gone back to this area?
I think, unfortunately, because my friend and I would, the early hours of the morning, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, we would go out for a drive, not with any set destination in mind. So we would literally just drive. We would end up in different locations, you know, in North Yorkshire, where we'd never been before. And with regards to that location, unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to remember exactly where it was.
But you kind of have like a rough idea close to any villages.
I would say roughly in North Yorkshire. It was maybe somewhere between probably Great Ayton in North Yorkshire, maybe towards Helmsley, that sort of area.
And do you think this was possibly just a one-off? Like maybe you were just in the wrong place at the right time?
I think so. Certainly nothing like that has happened again. I do look at it now as not necessarily a negative experience, but a privileged experience for something like that to happen. Why I was chosen, or possibly my friend, if also he experienced exactly the same experience I had, why I was chosen randomly for this kind of experiment, I don't know.
Because there must have been some kind of purpose behind it. You know, there must have been a reason why this happened. Whether you were being given something or it was just simply something was taken away.
Exactly. There must have been some reasoning for it, some purpose, whether it was just some kind of generic study of a human being. I haven't really noticed since that experience anything particularly different in my life. I'm not sure.
It's interesting. Same as a lot of these experiences, they raise more questions and they certainly give you answers.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
I have considered maybe having further regression to maybe try and find out some reasoning for this experience and, you know, this experiment. Obviously, to a certain extent, what happened, what I've already experienced, is an out of this world experience. I keep saying it, but it is a possibility maybe to go through regression and try and find out why this has happened.
You may get a little bit extra, or you may not. It's always difficult to tell. It might be what you do remember is either all there is, or it may be that is all your mind will allow you to retrieve.
Well, this is what I've thought. You know, obviously, I seem to have gained quite a bit more knowledge via the regression, but prior to that, I'm just wondering why I didn't remember extra things such as the experience in the room. But I don't know if that was just a way of my brain coping with things, or whether it was intentionally removed from my conscious mind, because I have thought that. It just seems a bit strange. Why would I only have partial memory?
Also, the regression therapist, the individual you used, had they came across these kind of accounts before?
Yes, she had. I did quite a bit of research to find somebody reputable with regards to the regression. And I found somebody local, and as well as doing private work, she also worked for the local NHS with regards to dealing with people with phobias. So people who were frightened of spiders, she would hypnotize them and obviously put positive thoughts with regards to spiders or whatever they were frightened of. One thing I do regret, actually, is she did give me the option to actually record the regression. And I think at the time she didn't have any audio tapes left. And I wish if I'd have known that prior, I'd have took along my own audio recording, which I think that would have been a fantastic thing to have now. Because obviously as we get older, I mean, my memory is fading, but the account I gave you was, I put it down on my laptop probably about 10 years ago, because I thought to myself, you know, I do want to try and retain as much of that memory as possible. And I can't rely on my memory as much anymore. So I thought by physically typing it into my laptop and having that record there just maintains that memory and the details, etc.
Of course, it's important to make the notes to put it down on paper. Even though an experience like this, I think it tends to get installed in your memory's hard drive, it seems to remain there. But Frank, it's an interesting encounter. And if you do decide to maybe get more regression, let us know if there's any expansion on what did happen.
And I think certainly if I do go ahead with further regression, I will ensure that there is a physical recording of it, because I do appreciate, like I've just mentioned, as time goes by, your memory can fade and you can potentially forget, which might seem insignificant at the time, but be quite important factors. So I am toying with that idea of regression. I wouldn't go back to the same person. I'd probably find somebody else reputable. But yeah, it's certainly something that I would consider going through with, because the only question now which is in my brain, which we already mentioned, what was the purpose of this experience? What was the reasoning behind it? And this energy which was transmitted from this creature into my body. What did this achieve?
And what was the reason behind it? Like I said, there was definitely a purpose. And if there's a purpose, there's an intelligence.
Exactly. And I think if I was to find that out, probably all my questions to a certain extent would be answered. Maybe trying to find out where this creature is from and why me, basically. I presume it was just a random thing. But then I think to myself, am I overthinking? But maybe have I been observed? Has my friend been observed for a while? And it's a case of, yes, these two are quite suitable. So these are going to be our next two subjects.
Definitely a possibility. Two lads ripping around the country roads of Yorkshire at 2 a.m. in the morning. I doubt if there would have been too many people out at that time.
Yeah. So if you're going to do something like that, you'd want it, where there's ideally no witnesses. These two young lads, it might seem like the whole experience took the light initially, probably 10, maybe 10 seconds, but it could have been 20 minutes. It could have been even an hour. So to lose, if you're going to do something like that, you're not going to do it in a city centre or a town centre where you're going to get hundreds of people or maybe even more people witnessing this blinding white light.
Interesting thing with the energy. You said this figure touched your fingertips with theirs.
It didn't actually touch. It was probably, I would say, maybe a couple of inches away from, our fingertips touching fingertips. So it wasn't exact a physical touch, but just a little bit of a gap between our fingertips.
And did you see this energy leaving your body from your fingers, or was it more of a feeling?
It was totally a feeling. I don't remember seeing anything either entering my fingers, my body from this creature, or leaving.
But it's something that you actually felt was being taken from you.
Yeah, the sensation was that just the whole of my body was a tingling sort of sensation. And that was, from my head to my toes.
And was it literally started at your head and then it worked its way down?
From what I remember, the first sensation was actually at the fingertips, going up my arms. And then the sensation seemed to literally head north and south of my body from my arms.
I had CT scan. They inject this chemical in your body.
Yes, yes. I've experienced it a few times. Yes. You're going to tell me about the heat? The warming up?
Yes.
Your body feels as though it's warming up. The contrast.
Exactly. And that started literally at my head and then it went all the way down my body. And I'd never felt anything like that.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
It's very strange. Was it kind of, in a way, did it feel like that?
The difference probably between the CT scan feeling and this was the CT experience is it feels like a warming of your body. This experience was more intense. This sensation was more intense. So much so. I mean, I felt at the time, sat in this chair, which I didn't mention, I did feel as though I was paralyzed, as though I couldn't move. This sensation, which was transmitted from this creature into me, if I could have, I'm sure I would have stood up because obviously, I've never experienced anything, that sensation before. To such an extent, the only thing I can relate to is sometimes when you get a cold shiver, which just lasts for maybe a couple of seconds. This was the whole of my body. It felt as if, imagine if to a certain extent, if your body is being heated up and, when you like in a pan, you start getting those bubbles forming and, you can feel that you can see the intensity of the boiling. It felt like that, as if, I'm getting sort of a massive sensation of tingling and just to feel as though the whole of my body is starting to, how can I put it? It's a difficult thing to try and explain, but I've experienced the CT scan at least 3 or 4 times and that warming sensation, which seems quite strange when they put the contrast in. But this was far more intense than that.
Yeah, it just made me think about that. Yeah, the chemical they put inside you for that scan via injection, I was in too much pain to really take any notice.
Yeah, Yeah, I think it's to highlight all your blood vessels, and it just improves the quality, I think, of the CT scan.
Right, okay. You know, it could be something that was a complete one-off, or it could be something which a selection maybe something which is in your past, in your genes. Is it something which has been experienced by other family members?
I mean, I just to interrupt there, Nick, I'm saying nothing else has happened to me. Something else did happen to me, but I don't necessarily relate it. But I mean, I don't know. When I was about 5, I was asleep, and I remember being awoken in the bedroom, and there was a figure in my bedroom, and it was a glowing figure stood in the bedroom. And strangely enough, I didn't feel frightened by this creature. And the only way I could describe it was similar to sort of like the shape of, you know, the Statue of Liberty, and with like the crown going around his head, thorns. And this creature was stood in my bedroom, and I remember it putting its hand out to me, giving me some kind of image of itself, like a small representation of itself. And then this figure left, and I fell asleep. Surprisingly, I fell asleep, but I fell asleep. And then I woke up the next morning looking for this figure, this representation it gave me. And I can remember it was a long, long time ago. I can remember looking underneath the bed. I can remember looking underneath the mattress. And I couldn't find this figure. And I still say to myself now, I'm probably maybe 70% certain it happened. And I'm 30% thinking to myself, you've had a dream. And it was so realistic that you've thought to yourself, I need to find this figure it gave to me. So I suppose I have had another strange experience, but whether it was as such or whether it was a dream, I'm still quite open-minded about that, to be honest.
It could be related, or it could be, you know, completely unrelated. And maybe something, if you do decide to get regression again, maybe that is something that you could maybe ask and take a look at.
I'm always a little bit, the last time I went for regression, I said, look, I've had a strange experience. And she said, right, well, I don't want you necessarily to tell me what your experience was. She said, the process is, you know, a form of hypnosis, and we'll regress you, hopefully, back to that night. But she said, don't initially tell me anything that had happened, which I thought was quite good of her, in the sense of that, you know, she's not getting any heads up with regards to what's happened or what I'm wanting to find information out about. So I'm just thinking, if I go for regression again, do you think it would be worthwhile me mentioning at all what I found out? Or I should just go in there and say, look, I've had a strange experience. I have been regressed before and I've found out some information, but I've still got some questions I need answered. Do you think that's the way to go about it? Or do you think I should actually say, look, initially, this is what I've found out? I appreciate with regression, you know, there is a few people who are quite skeptical about it, and with regards to false memories and things like that. I'm just wanting this regression I do have to be as honest and legitimate as possible.
If you look at the fact that you'll be using a different regression therapist, so really what it is, it's to put your own mind at rest, to know that these memories that came out in your previous regression are going to be true to what happened. Me personally, I would say, don't tell them anything.
Yeah.
And obviously you're going to be going to someone which has experience of these sessions. So I would just do what you did before, you knew what kind of happened.
Yeah.
And do it that way.
Right.
When you bring up the memory of little figurine and this figure in your room when you were 5, I mean, you've got enough information there just to say 5 years old, the night something happened, your old childhood home. So that's enough. And if there is anything there, something may come out. But of course, the less information you tell them, the better.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that would certainly be the more sensible way of doing things.
And certainly, if there was an option, which there probably would be, to record the regression. Because I think it's one thing me saying I was sat in the chair and I was upset or I was worried or concerned. But if you can actually hear it in somebody's voice, that genuine fear, I just think it just adds so much more to the validity, to a certain extent, of the experience. I do have regrets with regards to not getting the recording of the first experience. But I do think, you know, I'm getting older and, you know, my health is, it's stable at the moment, but it's still not fantastic. So it just, it makes me think, you know, that like getting this podcast done, getting probably further regression done while I'm still healthy enough to get it done and sharing as much as I can really with regards to my experience and hopefully, like I said, encouraging others to come forward.
You know, at least one episode I do put out, it does encourage at least one person. Sometimes an episode can encourage so many people what the show's about. You know, that this is what I wanted. Even if one person listens and it helps them in any way, even if it's just giving them a nice relaxing dog walk for an hour.
Exactly.
But people do benefit.
And I think also that the people who don't necessarily actively contribute as such, but they listen to stories and it just probably, you know, they mightn't want to share their experience, but it probably just reassures them, look, I'm not on my own here. Other people have experienced very similar things. And, you know, those people might be just content with that thought of there's lots of other people out there, a very similar situation to me, just probably gives them a little bit of reassurance that, I mean, some people might think, you know, I'm going crazy here.
And that's the most common thing people write in the subject bar of emails is you're going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if someone's had these experiences and they've never shared in their immediate circle or told their friends, even if they know that there's other people out there which have had it, then yeah, they feel less alone.
Exactly. You're sharing that experience, your thoughts with, I mean, potentially, I mean, obviously you're open to the World Wide Web. You're talking about, well, potentially millions of people, but I just think the more people who come forward, I don't want to necessarily, because it's a totally different thing to a certain extent, conspiracy theories and the government trying to suppress things, the more people who come forward, the better.
I agree. The more the merrier, Frank.
Exactly.
Frank, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
No problem at all, Nick. Take care, and I look forward to hearing from you. And if I do go through with a further regression, I'll certainly be back in touch.
Please do, Frank. Please do. And then we can have a nice update. Okay, Frank.
Great.
You enjoy the rest of your day, and I will be in touch, okay?
Cheers. Take care, Nick.
Okay, take care, Frank.
Bye-bye.
That is all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Frank for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.